I'd like to welcome my guests to the program out of Los Angeles, senior U.S. Congressional Defense Advisor Frederick Peterson, and out of Washington, D.C., former U.S. diplomat in Saudi Arabia, Michael Springman. Welcome, both of you, to the program. Let's start it off in L.A. And Frederick, what Lindsey Graham is saying is in total contradiction to high-ranking members of the administration, as well as U.S. President Donald Trump himself. Why is this the case? What exactly is going on with the Republicans?
Well, there's not actually a diametrical separation there. However, Lindsey Graham, after hearing the briefing that the CIA has provided, has reached the conclusion that MBS has been directly involved in the in ordering a killing, in quotes. The administration, however, President Trump and high-ranking members of the administration are still holding that conclusion in abeyance because, simply stated, none of us was there. None of us actually knows what happened. There were recordings that were horrific of an interrogation or an encounter, shall we say, gone very badly wrong. And who actually ordered that, whether the order was to extract from Turkey back to Saudi Arabia or whether to terminate on site, is the real question here. The administration comes up with a neutral ground saying they're simply not sure yet, and the Saudi-American relationship is quite important to not only to both countries, but to stability and peace and the extension of prosperity through the Middle East, and particularly in the in that immediate region.
Well, Frederick, let me stop you on that one. So, isn't it really about now, United States and Saudi relations? Basically, not about prosperity by the Saudis in this region, but basically about money. Isn't it all the bottom line? As Trump has said many times, he says, when I put America first, then definitely I cannot cut off relations with a regime such as Saudi Arabia. And it's because of the petrodollars. Let me get Michael Springman in on this. Your take overall on this, Michael, at the bottom line, isn't it about the money? When we look at Donald Trump and how he's dealing with this situation, but my question to you is, what do you think is going on if there has been somewhat of a split even within the Republicans themselves on this issue? What do you think is going on behind the scenes on this?
Well, in my view, behind the scenes, more and more Republicans and more Democrats are coming to the conclusion that the United States is supporting a terrorist state simply because the President of the United States has gotten personally vast sums of money from the Saudi Arabian government, either directly in buying his yacht for $20 million, buying the Plaza Hotel in New York City, or buying an entire floor of one of his skyscrapers. Or simply because he expects to get the benefits of a projected $110 billion worth of arms sales. And he doesn't realize, or doesn't want to realize, or can't seem to realize that this is a disaster, that Jamal Khashoggi walked into a consulate to pick up some routine paperwork and never walked out again. Republican members of Congress, such as Bob Corker, the chairman of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, has sent a letter invoking the Global Magnitsky Act to Donald Trump some weeks ago, and Trump has 120 days to reply about the sanctions that he's going to impose on the Saudis for human rights violations. So the people in Congress are realistic. There is a plan to invoke a joint resolution of Congress under the War Powers Act to stop the American support of the Saudi war in Yemen. And Trump apparently doesn't realize what's going on, or doesn't want to realize what's going on. He's too deep into his own fantasy world, and doesn't realize that he's over his head, and yet he continues to keep digging. He knows full well, as everybody else with half a brain does, that the Saudis murdered Khashoggi. It was done from orders on high, probably from Mohammed bin Salman. The steady leaks from the American intelligence services and the steady leaks from the Turkish government have proved that decisively. And people are backing away from Trump, seeing him as being toxic for his inability to address reality.
Okay. Well, Frederick, even when Senator Graham talked about the Khashoggi situation, he did not say that the Saudi regime should be held responsible, simply that the crown prince would be held responsible. I mean, what does this say in general about Washington-Riyadh relations?
Well, I think it says very clearly that it is a very important relationship to not only both sides, but to peace and security and an extension of rights and prosperity within the region. Speculation that MBS personally ordered an execution on site in an embassy outside of his country is hard to believe. I am not saying it did not happen. What I am saying is that if it did happen, it was egregiously wrong. Certainly should be there should be consequences to it, but it is also fair to speculate that perhaps what was ordered was not an execution on site, but an extraction from the Turkish embassy that was resisted on site, and the situation devolved from there physically to the point where a termination, shall we say, was committed at that point that was not part of a plan, but it may have been part of a plan. We simply don't know.
Okay.
And to form policy on the basis of ignorance rather than on the basis of a confident conclusion, again, and holding it against an ally that is very important within the region, would seem to be an unwarranted action on the part of the United States. And I believe that Donald Trump and his high advisors are acting prudently on this, not without principle.
Wow. Okay. You've just said a lot. Okay. There. You covered a lot of territory there, Frederick. And
thank you.
I mean, one, rights and prosperity. Talking about rights in Saudi Arabia, it's almost an oxymoron.
Yes.
But Michael Springman, when looking at some of Frederick's, what he just commented on, I was thinking while he was saying this, he said not to form policy based on ignorance. And of course, we've seen a lot of that coming out of Washington over the years. And my question to you is, if an entity such as, for example, Venezuela or Iran was even suspected of doing something like this, the difference in how Washington would handle it, and this is a regime that is a well-known, not only for killing Khashoggi, but for providing for terrorists, and we know as far as the terrible human rights record inside of the country, and Washington never cares. So what does that say exactly about the United States itself?
Well, it says that the leadership of the United States, put into place by a rather ignorant, not well-educated people, is acting on its own behalf, acting in its own interests, and forgetting completely about the rest of the world. Imagine if Iran or Russia had murdered Jamal Khashoggi. You can imagine the uproar. The armies would be marching, the planes would be flying, the bombs would be dropping. The United States is going after Cuba, it's going after Venezuela, as you mentioned, on the flimsiest excuses, no real substance to them. And yet we hear for 2 months, well, we can't tell who did what. We think it might be somebody that gave the order. Well, did the king do it? Did the crown prince, Mohammed bin Salman, do it? Or did some very low-level flunky in the Saudi government do it? No. Something like the murder of a man in a consulate of the Saudi government has to come from, that order has to come from the top. So it's American government policy to cozy up to murderers, war criminals, and human rights violators. Look at Saudi Arabia. Look at the American support for Israel. Look at the American support for India, with a very repressive, very religious-oriented government. Wherever the United States has allies, quote-unquote, they are generally not democratic, progressive republics. They are generally fanatical, religiously-oriented, repressive governments, such as Saudi Arabia, the Gulf states, or Israel. And the United States does its best to tear down any country with a government that dares to be independent of Washington, a government of a country that tries to follow its own way and provide for its own people as it best sees fit, such as Syria or Iran. And yet the American government is hostile towards both countries.
All right,
so
well,
it's you've got a small group of people who are essentially forever members of the government, either directly in government or outside government, as influential, very rich people who are able to use their influence to affect government policy.
And all right, Michael, stay with me. Let me get Frederick back in on this discussion. Frederick, the bottom line, I mean, and Trump has said it himself. He said this fits in our relations, the United States relations with Saudi Arabia, fits into his America First model. Your thoughts on those comments and exactly what does it mean?
Well, yes, I think he clearly means by that, and responding to a very strong current in the majority of Americans, I believe we will find, Donald Trump's policy and popularity continues to increase in popularity, not decrease. And that, to the frustration of the socialist springmans among us, and it's I should say that it is almost bizarre to listen to the critique of America and what we are and what we are doing in the world, universally almost around the world, taking the side of adversaries and enemies of liberty and freedom, and then posing as an agent of that within the government. Donald Trump is responding to a very strong current in America, and a current that we're seeing replicated and increasing throughout the Western world, to stand up for the Western world yet again. And not, and by the Western world, I mean the code of ethics and rights that upon which that world has been built.
So the Western world supports. So the Western world supports chopping up people. Western world supports chopping up dissidents. Is that what you're saying? Is that what the West stands for now?
Absolutely not.
But no one's been held responsible. The Saudi regime is not still being answering. The United States is not demanding. So it seems that you're saying then that the United States, I won't say the whole Western world, is basically okay with chopping up people.
No.
As long as you have money.
Not
as long as you
all.
Have money, you can get away with it. Is that what you're saying, Frederick?
What? Absolutely not. I don't know what money has to do with this at all. We're talking about actually verifying what happened and holding those responsible. And we should look at the Saudi regime. MBS has been an agent of liberalization within a government and within a people and within a culture that has been, we perhaps will agree, has been in the past very confining and subduing to women, to their own people, to any deviance or difference of opinion. Yet that is liberalizing under MBS. Therefore, MBS has large enemies, both within the country, within the culture, and outside the world. And those enemies are finding a way to feed on I won't call it a tragedy. It is an atrocity. I'm sure we can agree on that.
Mm-hmm.
But it is not proven at whose doorstep that atrocity should be laid, okay, or whether it was an accident and a bad operation gone worse.
Yes, an electric saw gone
Let's
wild.
Find
Michael
the truth
Springman, let me get you back in on this, Michael.
And
Michael, your take on this. Of course, Frederick said it has nothing to do with money. I think it has a lot to do with money and oil and power. Michael, your take on all this is that when we look at the situation, and we see heinous crimes besides Khashoggi. Of course, we see the Saudis and what they're doing in Yemen every day, where thousands of people have been killed. Millions are on the verge of starving. Of course, that never got the United States' attention. And of course, this situation with Khashoggi is a tragedy. But is it that the situation was so bad and was done on foreign soil that even the U.S. couldn't have ignored it? Otherwise, they would have ignored it, like they have been ignoring Yemen for all these years and the atrocities that the Saudis are committing.
Yeah, it's coming out now because the Saudis have spent 2 months dancing around denying what was done, claiming they had alternative explanations that, oh, the guy went in and he had an argument and somehow got killed and dismembered in the course of the argument. I mean, that doesn't fool a fifth grader. This is a man who says, oh, I'm a liberal, I am progressing the Saudi economy and Saudi society by letting women drive. But at the same time, he is the driving force behind the disastrous war in Yemen, which, as you mentioned, has killed tens of thousands of people. Brought about a vast cholera epidemic, is half the country is on the edge of starvation. He's the man behind the blockade of Qatar. He's the man driving talk of war against Iran. He's the man who sent terrorists into Syria and financed them. He's the man who sent terrorists into Iraq and financed them. And as far as the American government goes, this is the kind of thing that the American government loves to have, constant war. We've been at war in Afghanistan for 17 years now, have been at war in Iraq since 1991, really. We've been fighting in Syria now for the past, 6 or 7 years. We've destroyed Libya. We've destroyed Yugoslavia. This is American government policy, constant war, constant attempts to get rid of secular states that do not toe the American line. And it all comes down to money. As long as you got a bomb to drop, you can replace it. And that's money in the pocket of a big American corporation. And it puts money in the pocket of the guy who makes the bomb on the assembly line. So as you say, it is about money. It's Donald Trump's personal profit in this, as well as the profits going to huge American defense contractors.
Okay. Okay, well, I would love to continue this discussion. I would love to continue this discussion. I'm so sorry, Michael, we're out of time. Appreciate you both being with us. Michael Springman, former U.S. diplomat in Saudi Arabia out of D.C., and Frederick Peterson, senior U.S. congressional defense advisor out of L.A. And as always, viewers, we appreciate you being with us on another debate. I'm Marzia Hashimi. See you next time.